at this time, and also to our sister, Mrs. Jervis, for playing the organ for the funeral. On behalf of the 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church congregation, where Mabel was a member for many, many years, we do publicly extend our Christian love and sympathy to her immediate family, to her children, to Ernest or Ernie, to Alan, Derek, Leslie, to Robert, Audrey, Ian, and to Trevor, and also to Trevor's wife, Samantha, to the 13 grandchildren, and to the 4 great-grandchildren, to Mabel's surviving sister, Eva, and indeed to all of the family circle, can I, on behalf of the congregation here, extend our Christian love and sympathy to you all. Can I say that we mourn with you? Mabel was a faithful and a much loved member of our congregation, and certainly she has been missed from the church here over the last number of years since she went into the nursing home in 2019. And knowing that she will never join with us again here in the church certainly carries its sorrow. But we sorrow not as others that have no hope, because as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have a lively hope in Christ Jesus. For Mabel Thompson has an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. We mourn today, but in the midst of sorrow there is rejoicing, for Mabel is with Christ. She has seen her Saviour face to face. She is absent from the body, and she is present with the Lord. We want to give thanks to Almighty God for the life of Mabel, and to praise Him for the grace even that was extended to Mabel in saving her, in keeping her, and in calling her home. And so I invite you to take your order of service and turn to the first hymn on it, please. It is the hymn, "I Have a Shepherd, One I Love So Well." How He has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross He suffered, He shed His blood and died, that I might ever in His love confide. And after we receive the introduction, we'll stand as we sing, please. You may be seated. We're going to unite together in a word of prayer and seek the help of the Lord in the time of service, both here in the church and afterwards at the graveside. Let's pray together. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow in thy most holy presence in and through the precious and the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the chief shepherd. We thank thee, O God, that he is the one who cares for his flock. And O God, we come to thee and we thank thee for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. We thank thee for the day and hour when Christ entered into this world and he took on our humanity and he lived a life of perfection. There was never a sin that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life and then he went to the cross. He died an atoning death. He shed his blood. He took our punishment for our sin. And we thank thee and praise thee. He died, but he rose again. And he's alive forevermore. We thank thee for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank thee that it is the power of God unto salvation. We thank thee for that day and hour when thou didst save Mabel Thompson. When she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When she turned from sin. And she put her faith and trust in Christ. We thank thee that day he became her Savior and he became her Shepherd. We thank thee, O God, for that life that was well lived. A life surrendered unto thee. And O Father, we thank thee that she finished the course. And she kept the faith. We thank thee for the home calling of Mabel. We thank thee, O God, for the peace that we have and that comfort even of the gospel, that a soul that was saved has now went to be with the Lord. And Father, we thank thee that her time of suffering is over. And she has seen her Savior. She is with him even now. But, O God, we do remember the family this day. We remember those that have been left behind. We think of her children especially. We ask thee that thou wilt draw near and comfort each one of them. That thou wilt sustain them and give that grace that is needed. Even today as we lay the earthly remains of Mabel into the ground. We remember her sister as well. We remember her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We remember her church family even here in Six Mile Cross. And O God, each one that is sorrowing this day, we pray that thou wilt comfort. We pray that thou wilt draw near. That thou wilt be unto each one all that they need. Lord, we do think of the great need of salvation. We thank thee that that was a need that Mabel even had the joy of having even sufficiently dealt with by the Lord Jesus. That need of salvation was dealt with when Christ entered into her heart and saved her precious soul. Lord, we pray for each one that is here today. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt bless. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt comfort even through thy precious word. That thou wilt draw near and apply thy word. We think of the need even to be right with God. We think of the need to have salvation, to be saved, and to be washed in the blood of Christ. And O Father, if there be one in our gathering today that is still outside of Christ, that thou wilt have mercy upon them. That thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Even in the midst of death, O God, teach each one to number their days and to apply their hearts and to prepare to meet their God. Lord, remember us, we pray thee. Draw near to us, we ask thee for thy presence with us. We ask thee for thy help in the preaching. We ask thee, O God, for that comfort to be given to each and to every one of the family. O God, hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn again to our order of service, to our second hymn. You'll find it there, safe in the arms of Jesus, and safe in his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. And again, we'll stand as we sing, please. And you may be seated. I want to read to you the words of Psalm 34. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children and hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Without a shadow of a doubt, Mabel's favorite book in all of Scripture was the book of Psalms. The vast majority of visits that I had with Mabel, both in her own home in Springwell, driving in and Springlawn Nursing Home, even times when I visited her in the hospital, I would read from the book of Psalms. And as I finished the reading, Mabel always said the same line to me. She says, that's my favorite book. And so I felt it right, therefore, every time that I did see her, that I would read from the book of Psalms. And since Mabel came back from the hospital for the last time, over the last number of days as she was passing away, those occasions whenever I called in to see her, I would just sit beside her and read from the book of Psalms and pray with her. The last psalm I believe that I ever read to Mabel was Psalm 34. Whenever I read this psalm afresh in the study, whilst it is a psalm of David and it applies to David's life, I could see much that applied to Mabel's life. There's much that I read there that I could see in her life. So I want to just very simply go through this psalm with you and apply it to Mabel, and then seek to apply it to each one this afternoon. Within Psalm 34, there are four sections. This psalm begins with exaltation. In the verse 1, David begins by blessing the Lord. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Right from the outset, even as we begin to speak, just like David, we must praise and we must bless Almighty God for his amazing and his abundant grace. God sent forth his only begotten Son, made under the law, born of a virgin, enduring all of the miseries of this life, and yet Christ would live a perfect life. Never once did he sin in thought, in word, or in deed. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, and therefore he was the only one who could go to the cross and could die for our sins. And Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood. He bore the wrath of his Father. He bore the punishment for the sins of his people. And we praise God today that we can say he bore the sins of Mabel Thompson. He took Mabel's sins and the guilt off them in his own body upon the tree. He suffered the wrath and the punishment that was due to Mabel Thompson for her sin. Christ suffered her sin and suffered the punishment for it. And so we praise God. And we bless the Lord today. And our souls make our boast in the Lord. And we magnify the Lord for what he did specifically for Mabel Thompson. Mabel was a woman who knew what it was to praise the Lord. The first memory I ever have of Mabel was when I was a Bible college student. I was asked to come and to take a prayer meeting. And just up in that little room, Mabel was on the front row on the left beside Raymond Hannigan. Those two individuals both caught my attention. One, because Raymond never used a hymn book. He just knew every hymn by memory. And two, Mabel could barely see, and she had the little magnifying glass with the light right up with the hymn book right up there. But it never deterred her from singing. Even though the eyesight was starting to go, even though she couldn't hold a book like normal in terms of the normal distance, she had of it right up. But she desired to praise the Lord. There were times whenever I would visit with her. The greatest statement she ever made, as I was leaving after reading the scriptures and praying with her, she just simply said to me, "You know, it's great to be saved." What a praise, what a testimony. She praised the Lord for saving her. She praised the Lord for keeping her. The second section of this psalm deals with salvation. For David sought the Lord. Verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears." Verse 6 will say, "This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." We're speaking of salvation. Thank God in the life of Mabel Thompson, there was a day and an hour when she turned from her sin and she sought the Lord. I was speaking with the first minister of this congregation a number of months ago, Reverend John Greer. And in speaking, he mentioned and he asked, he says, "Is Mabel Thompson still living?" I said, "She is." And he says, "I can remember the night she was saved. I can remember the night she came and she asked the Reverend Greer, she asked the Reverend Greer to point her to Christ." There was a testimony there of a lady who turned from her sin, who sought the Lord to save her. Whenever Mabel sought the Lord in grace and in mercy, the Lord heard her. The Lord saved her out of all of her troubles. What was the greatest trouble Mabel ever had? Sin. My friend, that's the greatest trouble all of us have. The greatest trouble you will ever have in all of your life, it doesn't matter where you live, what stage of life you're at, the greatest trouble each one of us has is our sin. Our sin separates us from God. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, immediately there was a separation, there was a disconnect, there was a gulf fixed between God and man because of sin. And it left Adam in the Garden of Eden, and left each one of us as the offspring of Adam, separate from God. Adam sinned and fell, and we fell in him. So often people think of God and they think, well, God's just there for me exactly as I wished him to be. When I want them and how I want them, and God will just be the God of my design. My friend, God's a God of holiness. Sin can never come before God. And God will never abide with sin in heaven. The greatest trouble Mabel Thompson ever had was her sin. And there was a day and an hour when she sought the Lord to wash her, to cleanse her, to pay, and to come and to take that sin from her and to save her. Your greatest trouble in your life, as it was in mine, as it was in Mabel's, the greatest trouble is sin. My friend, if you remain in your sin, if you die in your sin, not only will you be separated in life from God, but you'll be separated in death. And in death, it's eternal separation. Never to draw nigh to the Lord. Never to be in His presence. Mabel understood that. Mabel turned from her sin. She cried unto the Lord for forgiveness and for salvation. Mabel was saved. But remember, salvation is not just in the saving. Salvation is also in the keeping. Verse 7 of the psalm says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them." The angel of the Lord, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Whenever an individual is saved, the Lord Jesus Christ encamps around about them. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. He never abandons them. They're never separated again from God. Certainly a comfort, which I mentioned to Mabel, after lockdowns and times when the home was closed for isolation periods. Couldn't get in to see her. Family couldn't get in to see her. I mentioned to Mabel, whilst we couldn't get in, there was certainly no one that could keep the Lord out. Every single moment of every single day, regardless if the doors were locked in the home, the Lord was with her. Regardless if every human individual was turned away at the door, yet the Lord's presence was continually with her. It was with her in the nursing home. It was with her in the hospital. It was with her in life. And it was with her in death. God never left her. Even in the final moments of her life, the Lord Jesus Christ was with her. The well-known shepherd Psalm says in the verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Thou art with me. Christ was around about His child, was with His child in every step of life. Third section of this psalm deals with exhortation. David exhorts those that are round about him to fear the Lord. Verse 9 it says, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." What does it mean to fear the Lord? It doesn't mean to be scared of Him. As if God is some kind of scary monster you have to run away from. It says to fear the Lord, it means to have a reverent understanding of who God is. Have that understanding of what is acceptable and what is unacceptable before God. You know, when I read verse 11, I couldn't help but think of Mabel. Verse 11 says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Mabel brought each one of you, her children, up to know the gospel. Mabel brought you along to the church. She taught you the things of God. Without doubt, she was faithful to all of your souls. You know, children, that's the greatest blessing you can have. Not simply to have a mother or a father who loves you, but to have a parent who loves your soul. To have one who has that desire for all of her children to be saved, grandchildren to be saved, for all of the family circle, for each one to be saved, to have that desire that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, that they might have that relationship personally, individually with Christ. That's what David was doing in this psalm. He gathered all of the children around him. He gathered his friends around him. He gathered his family around him. And he brought them to teach them the fear of God. And he brought them even to encourage them. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. In other words, turn away from the things of the world. Turn to Christ. You know, as a preacher, that's what my role is. Every time I have opportunity, whether it be in preaching or in speaking, to exhort people, individuals, to turn from sin and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christian parents do. They bring their children up to understand the difference between right and wrong. To understand the necessity of salvation. To exhort, to plead, to pray for the children. To come and to enjoy peace. What is peace? Many individuals have different understandings, different ideologies as to what peace is, and how you go about getting peace, and how to sustain peace. My friend, if you want peace in your life, peace in your heart, peace of mind, peace with God, you must come to Christ. There's no peace outside of Christ. One of the titles of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Whenever you're saved and your sins are dealt with, you have peace with God and you have peace that passeth all understanding. Mabel had that peace. There were times when individuals would come to her in the home, and even times whenever the opportunity was given for booster shots and all the rest of it, she didn't care if she got it or not. Why? Because she knew where she was going. She knew she was saved. She knew that whenever the Lord's time came to call her home, she knew exactly where she was going. She had peace. There were times I went into the home, we talked about the affairs of the world and what she had heard in the news and all of the differences, the wars, all of the changes, all of the despondency even within society. And yet it never stirred her. Why? Because she had peace. I wonder today, do you have peace? Peace of mind, peace of heart. Most importantly, do you have peace with God? The fourth and the final section of this psalm deals with redemption. David, in this final part, he simply encourages those that are around him to trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes people think if you become a Christian, it just makes an easy life. Makes everything that you'll be in a bed of roses. But that's not scriptural. It's not even what we read here in this psalm, because it says that the righteous are many are the afflictions of the righteous. There are hardships for each and every one to face in life. Mabel was no different. Mabel, just because she was a Christian, it didn't mean she was immune to times of sickness, times of sorrow. Mabel was not immune to times of struggle. None of us are. But Mabel trusted in the Lord to deliver her through them all. Mabel's confidence was that the Lord would undertake for every single one of her need. He would supply all of her need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. He delivered her out of them all. On Saturday morning, around 9:30, the Lord called her home. That's a wonderful verse we've mentioned in recent weeks in our own church in Song of Solomon 2 in verse 10. Christ speaks and he says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away." Mabel heard the home calling on Saturday morning. To leave that earthly shell. To leave the bodily remains. The Lord called her up. Called her home. He had redeemed her. Christ had redeemed her not with corruptible things such as silver or gold.
Christ redeemed her with his own precious blood. For Mabel on Saturday morning, it was absent from the body. It was present with the Lord. Some people believe in soul sleep. Some people believe in purgatory. Scripture is very clear. The moment you die, you're in one of two places. With the Lord. Or without him forever in hell. For Mabel, she's with Christ. The one who loved her. The one who died for her. The one who rose again for her. The one who lived and lives for her. The one who will present her unto his Father in heaven. For Mabel, we can say with the closing words of this psalm, she has trusted in him. She will never be desolate. You know, in John 14, the Lord promised the disciples that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ went and prepared a place for Mabel. And then he called her home. What a testimony of saving grace. But I wonder as we close, do you have a testimony? What is your testimony before God? Are you saved? If you were to die, where would you be? What would have to be said in truth over your coffin? You ready to die? Mabel was. Often she'd say to me, I know where I'm going. I'm ready to go. But what of your times today? Are you ready? You might think, oh, I've years. Mabel was 86 going on 87. I've years. I'm nowhere near that. Mabel had a phrase she told me quite often. She inherited it from her father. You put your boots on in the morning, you don't know who's taking them off that night. In other words, when you go out the door, you don't know what's waiting for you. Or what that day brings forth. How many have gone out the door believing in a couple of hours I'll be home, never to come home. That's why there's an urgency to be ready. That's why Mabel, with the striving of the Spirit of God upon her, answered that call to be saved. She didn't put it off until she was 85 or 86. She dealt with it many, many years ago, almost four decades. Saved, redeemed, and now with the Lord. Where will you be if the Lord says your time's up? Because my friend, it is appointed. Your time is appointed. It's not your choice. The Lord's sovereign will has a set time for your passing into his presence or separate. Forever. We're going to sing one more hymn together as we bring our service to a close. You'll find it in the back of the order of service, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide, when other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide
with me. Can I say that at the end of this hymn, please remain standing as the remains of Mabel are carried from the church. We go immediately then to the graveyard adjoining here and for the committal service, and the family will be there as we take the remains of Mabel up to the grave. And the family really do appreciate your attendance here today. And can we say in the back of the order of service, you'll find the details in relation to the donations in lieu and also in relation to the refreshments afterwards. So please make yourself aware of those. Thank you. Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us. We thank thee for thy word. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt continue to speak on through thy precious word. Comfort the family and all of the friends. Be near to us even in these moments as we now go to the graveside. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt be very precious unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.